It's a brand new show.
Hey y'all, welcome back to Taking It Down, the Alabama Takes Pop Culture Podcast. Today we plan on dissecting and discussing the movie The Personal History of David Copperfield, which stars Dev Patel and has recently been on HBO Max. Is it worth your time? Well, stick around and find out. Not only that, but we'll be talking about the first episode of the Disney Plus MCU series Loki, as well as the first couple of episodes of the Netflix series Sweet Tooth. With me today, wonderful co-host Donovan, wonderful co-host Natalie, no Adam today. Natalie, can you tell us more where Adam is? Is that secret? Is he in a secret locale?
The update that I just got is that Adam has just crossed into the state of Alabama from the state of Mississippi. That's where he is.
We'll let him speak for himself next week, maybe.
That's a good idea.
I don't think we should.
I heard that he saw some nudies riding bikes, so you should ask him about that.
Oh, he kept me very informed on what he saw. Adam's actually in New Orleans, and so he's been keeping me informed on his mini vacation. Donovan, hey.
Here I am.
Here you are. Not so thrilled.
Here I stand.
Well, let's speaking of not being thrilled, that'll be my segue. Let's begin with the comedy / drama film from Armando Iannucci.
You know, there's a word for that. Dramedy.
They've created that word, but you know, sometimes I'm not hip to the lingo. So, but anyway, this film's now streaming on HBO Max. It's called The Personal History of David Copperfield. I suspect most people would realize this is a recent adaptation of the Charles Dickens novel, and that maybe a lot of people would also realize that Armando Iannucci may best be known as the creator, showrunner of the HBO series Veep, which is how this movie sort of popped on our radar. It's got Dev Patel in it. It co-stars Peter Capaldi, Daisy May Cooper, Hugh Laurie, Tilda Swinton, Ben Whishaw's in it. You know, it hews closely to the Dickens novel, I think. More on that in just a second, actually.
According to Wikipedia, it hews closely to the Dickens novel.
Well, the reason why I say more on that is because I do not read Dickens. Let's just start there, honestly. I think I was made to read Dickens in 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, somewhere in that range, and I just
what
didn't.
What were you made to read, though? Like Oliver Twist or Great Expectations or something like that?
It was something, and I just did not like it from page one. I was not a Dickens fan. Are you either of you familiar or well-read in your Dickens?
No.
A Tale of Two Cities is pretty rad.
Is it really?
It is. It's very good. He wrote some great ghost stories. And I mean, his novels are, you know, 700 pages long. So who's got time for that? But there's a reason Dickensian is an adjective, right? Like when he's on fire, he's the descriptions and the liveliness of the writing is pretty top notch.
I do know a couple things about him. He initially wrote those novels in segments, and they would be published, what, monthly, weekly? And that sort of created the word cliffhanger, because he literally had a character hanging off a cliff in one, right?
And David Copperfield is loosely autobiographical. He's kind of talking about himself in this book.
I did not know that Charles Dickens looked like Dev Patel. Was such a striking, handsome figure.
He looks like Dev Patel, but like hotter.
Oh, wow. Well, count me in. we talked about the Dickens things, but let's talk generally on if you liked this movie. And Donovan, I don't think Natalie watched it, and that's like a point of reference we're going to make. You didn't watch it, did you, Natalie?
Well, I was instructed not to. So.
That's right. That's what I'm getting at here. Donovan, generally speaking, just in case some of our viewers are planning on watching it and they don't want spoiled, what do you think?
Blaine, I would give it a thumbs up. I found myself charmed.
And no, you did not.
I did too.
But you gave it one star in Letterboxd.
No, I gave it a heart.
Damn it. Letterboxd fools me.
I liked it. You gave it half a star.
I gave it half a star out of five.
Which, if you ask me, half a star is like, this didn't, like, nothing worked. Not even on the level of, like, the camera. Like, they were pointing it at a frog the whole time, not at the actors. That's what half a star means. I'm not sure it deserved your half a star.
So for me, half a star, or in Goodreads, one star, means I just couldn't hardly finish it. Or maybe I didn't. Or maybe I didn't finish it. And in this case, I really didn't finish it. I was just...
So you don't even know how it ends?
No, I do.
With all the murders?
No, we didn't have murders.
Well, you didn't finish it. How would you know?
No, it played. I just started getting up and doing things and glancing at the TV over my shoulder.
So you wouldn't know?
Let's get into spoilers now, since Donovan's talked about the murders, which do not happen. I notified Natalie not to watch this because I thought it was a drag, and I got reasons why. I'm not being too superficial with that, but...
Blaine doesn't like it because it should have been a white man cast as the main character.
Not at all.
He texted me, finished it, was like, not enough white people? Question mark, question mark, question mark.
There were plenty of white people in this movie.
More than enough, if you ask me.
More than enough. Here's what I thought. I thought it was just filmed at this frantic pace. The cameras were swinging, and a lot of times that can be beneficial to a movie, but... to me, in this one, it felt like it was trying desperately to compensate for something, for the lack of whimsy, or the whimsy it was trying to create. It didn't have it. Hmm. For me, right?
Yeah.
You want to speak on the whimsy or lack thereof?
I don't know if it was always 100% whimsical, but it did have, for me, actually, I felt like it usually had the energy. It made it sort of go, I don't know, it felt like a pretty good way to adapt a Dickens novel, just because a lot of times they do have that kind of headlong energy.
Another problem I had with it, which was the dangerous Copperfield face, it never felt threatening or real enough. Like, I never bought into that he was a poor, pitiful child, you know?
Well, I mean, you got to take that up with Charles Dickens.
You think? You think it wouldn't end this movie? Because I feel like if I would have picked up the book and read it, I would have felt like, oh, don't beat the poor kid. But here, I was just like...
Here, you're like, beat him some more.
A little bit. No. It wasn't beat him some more. It was more like when I knew he was about to take punishment from his stepfather, it just felt like it really wasn't going to happen. So the kid bites the stepfather, and it's supposed to be comedic. And I was just like, there's no danger here. There are no, you know, for, I guess, a lack of better term, there are no stakes here.
Is it supposed, he gets his ass beat.
Yeah, but it's like off camera after a good chuckle was supposed
and
to be.
And then there's... You know, I don't know if that's funny. That didn't play to me as comedic when he bites him.
You didn't? Yeah, it did to me. I thought I was supposed to giggle, like, oh, the cute kid bit the stick.
No, I thought it was like, you know, because then it's kind of a sad scene, right? It cuts away. He's getting whipped by a, you know, rod or whatever. And then he puts him to work in a bottle factory, Blaine. A bottle factory.
None of which felt
That's
heightened.
No place for a young man with prospects.
I'm going to get to... I finally, about an hour into the film, I really pinpointed exactly what was going on for me. And okay. I was trying to figure out how something like The Great from Hulu was same time period, same period genre, and it worked, it clicked, everything about that was you know, great, forgive me. But I figured it out. It was, The Great is R-rated. So Copperfield, this version of Copperfield lacks so much bite. Again, forgive the pun, but it lacked heft, you know, it lacked stakes. Like, I don't want to see a kid get beaten, but like something along those lines to show me, like, care for this kid.
Give me the true plight of the working poor in London,
yes,
that kind of thing.
Yes, yeah. And I never felt that. And I realized that they're trying to do an old tale in a new light, you know, in this case, I think whimsical or comedic in a way, but it just came off to me as rather dull and annoying.
Interesting, because I thought at the end, I did kind of like how he pulls all the bits from his life together.
Huh.
And I liked that there was the bit where he they bring in the actual words from the Dickens novel as he's describing people. I thought that was very effective. And I liked the Tilda Swinton performance and Peter Capaldi's performance. And there were some parts that actually made me laugh. I thought that Iannucci has not yet totally lost his ear for dialogue. Is this my favorite thing he's ever done? No, but I liked it.
I thought Hugh Laurie had the best of all the performances.
I would agree with that.
In this version of Copperfield trying to be somewhat funny, he came the closest to nailing that, what was supposed to be done. And here's an example of annoying. So did you not find it excruciating to have to watch that 5 or 10 minutes worth of the bottling manufacturer scene where it wasn't the boss, but like his underling, his right-hand man would repeat every last word of every sentence? Did that not drive you up the wall?
That was one of the only scenes that I just wasn't crazy about.
Okay. So at least I wasn't too far off base with that one.
I like the whole bit with the he's going to make the unsuitable marriage. And she's like, talk to me like my, you know, she wants him to have the dog like propose. And
you're right.
I thought that was good stuff.
I think they had just lost me at that point. It might have worked had that come earlier.
You were just raving.
Yeah, I kind of was. I suppose it was meant to be more slapstick, so.
I think so, yeah. Like, it sort of had, like, they even, there's a bit where he, you know, they get drunk and go to the theater where they play it more like it's as if it was a silent film.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of Keystone Cops style energy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if they were going to do slapstick, I wish they would have gone all in.
Uh-huh.
It felt a half measure on the slapstick, so.
I think this is, you know, it's one of those movies that it's just how it strikes you.
Yeah, I think so.
If you're in the mood or not in the mood, or you know, you either like it or you don't.
Speaking of Hugh Laurie, adding to the Hugh Laurie performance, Ben Whishaw had a pretty good performance too, I thought.
Did you like his Jim Carrey haircut?
I did. I was going to mention that. I thought he did great just by bringing that to the character, the Jim Carrey a la Dumb and Dumber.
I thought Ben Whishaw was really good. And
his first appearance on screen was pretty doggone good, and Hugh Laurie he maintained to some comedic stuff going on throughout. But yeah, so wow, you thought, you say thumbs up, I'm thumbs down. So Natalie, which one, whose advice would you take here?
I feel like I've missed out
about not watching it.
Yeah, like I feel like I've been led astray. Somebody texted me and
by Blaine, yes,
firmly said, do not watch, just don't.
I swear that I saw in Letterboxd that Donovan had put a 1 star, but that's apparently not what happened.
I didn't give it any star. I usually don't, unless I just think it's garbage. Usually I just say, did I like it or not? So if he has the heart, I liked it.
I guess I needed to have clicked on it rather than trying to rely on a star look. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break, and then on the other side, we're going to talk Sweet Tooth, Netflix, and Loki, Disney+. So that's where we'll get more into it. We'll rope Natalie in on these shows. Okay, we do not have ads on our site or in our podcast, which means we aren't garnering money from any of these endeavors we do. However, that doesn't mean that you, the listener, can't be a part of the process. Head to the website, thealabamatake.com, click on Donate or Shop, where you can donate to help with the cost of production or the site and podcast. And or you can click on Shop, where you can visit our online store and grab yourself a t-shirt or a mug or something. Short Takes is an online talk show that appears on YouTube every Friday morning, brought to you by the Alabama Take. You can also find it on our website every Friday morning. New episodes on Friday morning with a guest. Now, last week, I mistakenly said the guest was going to be Matt Patton. I was wrong. I was a week off. I guess I still had Matt Patton on my mind because I'd recently talked to him. But that's going to be this week. So if you actually listened to our break and you thought, oh, he lied. No, I didn't lie. I'm just a week off. All right, so coming later this year will be This Song Sucks for Season 2. In the meantime, you can go back and listen to those old episodes or catch up on This Song Sucks. They'll be covering 10 to 12 other songs. 10 to 12 episodes, if I'm not mistaken, for This Song Sucks in Season 2. But let's get back to today's episode of Taking It Down.
How many subscribers do you think you lost when you lied to them?
All three of our subscribers just bailed immediately. So Apple's done this new thing where they are... Neither of you have Apple phones, oddly enough. This is a weird conversation. Their podcast app is usually really user-friendly, but they've done a thing where they've updated it to where instead of hitting a subscribe button, you hit a follow button, and it's kind of thrown things off a little. It's like, what does that mean? So, anyway.
Would you give that half a star?
I'm going to give it half. No, I will. All right, what do we want to do first? We want to do Sweet Tooth or Loki? It's up to you guys.
I mean, I've seen Loki. I haven't seen Sweet Tooth.
I read the
comic. I'm familiar with the basic outline.
Well, then you know what's happening. Let's talk Loki since there's only one episode. We'll get him out of the way first.
Yeah.
Loki's the newest entry in the MCU, and as you have guessed, it stars Tom Hiddleston. He's returning to his role as that trickster god. And new to the MCU is Owen Wilson. Wilson plays an officer in the Time Variance Authority, or the TVA, who's put himself in charge of Loki's case of messing with this set timeline when he got his hands on the Tesseract in the middle of the Avengers Endgame, if you watched that. If you didn't watch that, the show does a pretty good job of catching you up on everything, just in case you wanted to watch it. We're only going to talk about episode one because that's all that's out. I'll let you guys start. Let's go. Natalie, since she hasn't said anything.
Oh, Donovan was ready to start talking.
Donovan was ready? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, how great is Tom Hiddleston? It's so nice to see him again.
If it was anyone else playing Loki, this character just would not work.
I wonder if they would even take the route. Yeah, I think they're forming the whole next phase storyline around the fact that they know they have Tom Hiddleston and everybody's going to sign up to come watch him be Loki. They wouldn't do that for anybody else.
I don't blame them, because the character of Loki, he's very redundant. It's just the same thing over and over and over. Like, I'm not that bad right now. Nope, I'm going to stab you in the back, literally. That could get old quick.
For sure.
But Tom Hiddleston sells it.
He's great.
You know, he tried out to be Thor, which would have been hilarious in a terrible way.
I can't see it.
Very anemic god of Thor.
I don't even think he auditioned to be Loki. He auditioned for Thor, and they're like, nope, but you can be our Loki.
That was genius on the casting director that day. I'll tell you this. If you like Tom Hiddleston, you know what you're really going to like? You're going to like Tom Hiddleston and Owen Wilson in a room together. I could watch that hours and hours and hours.
I don't know why, but... for some reason, like, seeing Owen Wilson in a Marvel thing, it was like, wow, they would have everyone now. Like, they have every actor.
Oh, that was the moment where it hit you?
I don't know why, but it was like, it's like something about his, like, you know, his, like, kind of surfer dude, you know, voice starts up and it's like,
yeah,
like,
wow.
What can't they do? They control everything. Yeah, it's pretty
cool. So you mess with the timeline. We're going to have a problem, I guess. Wow. I am huge Owen Wilson fan, and man, he really makes Tom Hiddleston's best parts just shine. Not that Tom Hiddleston had an issue with that at all. I'm not dissing on him at all. I just think those two guys should like be in a lot of more movies together. Natalie, what'd you think about the opening episode, though?
Oh, man. I mean, just going off of what you said, I mean, so much of the episode was just the two of them sitting across from a table talking to each other, which could mm-hmm. be really boring and just like a lot of exposition and nothing's really happening. And I think it only works because of those two. I mean, it was so good. And I'm very, very excited mm-hmm. about what's coming.
Yeah, that's where they were just coloring in the... they were filling in the blanks, coloring in the coloring book there to make sure everybody saw what had happened previously. You're right. It could have been boring AF, but instead we get just some hilarity. And I wish I could remember the specifics of the jokes. I thought I would, I guess, because I didn't write any down. But I just remember just being tickled and being like, I can't wait for next week and see what these two do.
I thought just it was a super confident first episode, and Tom Hiddleston played it great as like, he's trying to be the coolest guy in the room, and he's definitely not. And he sort of knows it.
He's Don Draper.
It's like the bit. It's like the bit. I know! It was great! There's like the bit where he's like thinks he might have lost his ticket, and it is just good physical comedy from Tom Hiddleston. He starts patting through his pockets to make
sure. Yes, he starts to freak out a bit, like, oh shit, maybe I didn't have the ticket. That was good.
They even kind of, because I agree with you, Blaine. Like, Loki's kind of, after what we've seen in this universe, mm-hmm. Loki's kind of seems like a little bit of a low grade threat now. Like, he's not as tough as he used to be. So they're like, you sure do lose a lot, man. Like,
and they are playing on that now, and I'm glad that they're recognizing. Yeah, he just does the same shit every movie.
It was good. I thought that was very fun. That is part of that.
Not a lot to dislike in this episode, but, you know, we only have the one episode. I will say I do have one qualm, but I'm going to toss it to you two first. One minor qualm, and I don't even know if it's going to exacerbate into anything to gripe about. But, Donovan, did you have any gripes about episode one?
Not really. I'm sure I'll complain about something later. But, you know, there was a little... Actually... I do have one gripe.
What's your really one
gripe? I don't know if we needed the intercut with Loki as D.B. Cooper, but it was fun to see him do his best John Hamm impression.
100%. That was good.
It was a lot of it. It really zipped along, and it made me want to watch.
Yeah, Natalie, any gripes? Any complaints?
Two complaints.
Oh, good, good, good.
They're very shallow complaints. First of all,
mine maybe, yeah.
They're showing 2012 Loki, whatever. He's got his longer, dark, sleeked hair. But then it's supposed to still be 2012 Loki, and his hair is shorter and like curled
up.
He
hasn't aged a day.
What? Like, I get like people are gonna age, that's fine. But you can get the hair right. Like, that was annoying to me.
That was a continuity, yeah.
But I didn't like that. And the other thing was the sign, this thing, this is everything you've ever said. That stack was way too short.
For a talker like him?
And then the rest of the episode, like, we know you love to talk, blah, blah, blah. But his stack was not very tall of everything in the world that he's ever said.
That's true.
I felt very convicted when Owen Wilson said, we know you love to talk. Something about the way he said it.
We all know Loki died. What I'm presupposing. Maybe he didn't. You haven't seen that meme? I thought everybody.
No, I have not.
I did think of that. That's but great. Then like second after I saw a meme, so it kind of stole my thunder.
That's great.
It is great. No, my only complaint, which could go a multitude of directions and may not even end up being a complaint, is that do we need the quote-unquote antagonist villain to be Loki? I mean, we just got through saying he can be a bit redundant as a villain.
This is a mean Loki.
But he's not a villain.
Okay, if they're going to let him play it pure evil,
He's a killer Loki.
Okay, I'm interested. And then again, it could be somebody acting like Loki. It could be some other... figure.
So I don't see that guy as the bad guy at all. Dark Loki is our hero.
Gonna be hard sell, yeah.
Two times the Hiddleston? What do you want me to say? That's bad?
Not Hiddleston. I'm saying the character of Loki, so.
I don't understand the difference.
There is no difference. Now you're telling me when he was in the Night Manager, he was not Loki?
No, he was. He was just in disguise.
Let's dive into the Netflix series Sweet Tooth, which is odd because we've got three things happening here. Donovan's read the comic from start to finish, I'm assuming. I have only watched the first episode of the show, and Natalie's watched every episode of the show. So it's going to be interesting on how much we step on each other's toes here. Let's talk about Sweet Tooth. It was produced by Robert Downey Jr. and his wife, Susan Downey. They even did some of the ads for the show in a couple of weeks before it aired. It's based off the comic of the same name that Donovan's probably going to reference. And it's written by,
Jeff Lemire.
Jeff Lemire. I was going to say Lemire, but it's Lemire. That sounds good.
Canadian comic star.
Oh, that's a very Canadian name. That adds. The idea here is there was a big event that led to a hybrid babies being born where they end up half human and half animal of some sort. And as the humans are terrible in real life and on the show, they just want to hunt them or get rid of them or blame them for this pandemic that's also happening. So that's your basis. Doesn't have very huge actors in it so far, or not in the first episode or two, except for Will Forte, who plays a father, and James Brolin, I think, is doing the voiceover. And the voiceover does a lot of heavy lifting in the first episode, especially, which I can only speak of. So, as we do, we'll say if we just advise people to watch it or not. Now, Natalie, the secret's out on you. You watched every episode in two nights.
Yes, I guess I would say, watch it.
Yeah, I was interested. I was very interested. It didn't have its hooks in me thoroughly, but I want to see where it goes. 100% want to see where it goes. Donovan, did you enjoy the comic at all?
I like Lamar. I think Sweet Tooth was the first thing of his that I read, and so he'll sometimes illustrate his own stuff, and sometimes he'll just write. He illustrated it. Mm-hmm. He's got kind of a unique art style, and I liked it enough that I was like, I should keep an eye out for this guy, who, funny enough, like, really got his start with kind of like naturalistic slice of life comics about being Canadian, living in Canada, rural life.
What are some of his other works?
Essex County is his kind of first big one.
That rings a bell.
He's done work for work for hire for DC or Marvel. So he actually had a little run with Swamp Thing that was pretty good.
Oh, okay.
He's got Descender that's pretty good. And then he's got a bunch that I haven't seen at all.
This show may hinge too much on your tolerance for child actors. Though episode one did manage to avoid anything too cutesy. Natalie, I feel like that would have been something that would have scared you away. Am I wrong?
About child actors?
Uh-huh.
I mean, if they're
I feel like you're the type of person who would have been annoyed by a child actor.
I'm more annoyed by child singers than I am by child actors.
100% with you.
That's an important distinction.
Very important distinction for me, too. I hate child singers.
Yeah, it's awful. But no, I honestly, like, it helped that the kid actors had, like, cute antlers and furry ears. Like, yeah, that kind of, I was like, oh, they're cute. But there's really only the one.
Speaking of advising people to watch it, I told my wife Kelly to watch the first episode last night. So I did advise somebody to watch it. I told them it would be good. And the opening scene where they're showing the little tiny babies and one of them kind of looks like a dog and kind of like a baby, she's like, oh, I want one.
Yeah, for sure. If you have to have a kid, let it be half dog. It sounds awesome.
That's a really good point.
Unlike mine, who's half demon, which is, you know, a little different.
Do you, when your kid is singing, Blaine, are you just like, shut the hell up, I hate singers?
Oh, yeah, I was going to clarify that, honestly. I love it when kids sing and they sound like a kid. It drives me insane when they sing and they sound operatic or better than an adult. You know what I mean?
Like, because know your place.
Yeah, know your fucking role.
You're a child.
Or I hate it when a kid gets behind a drum kit and just nails out the perfect 4/4.
You know what I really hate?
Perfect.
Yeah. When there's a kid that's better dressed than I am.
Me too.
Like, what are you?
It's always. Me too. Four? Just all kids. They're hate them all.
All children are.
They're supposed to have on like different colored rain boots and like a cowboy hat. You know, just awfully dressed.
You want me to believe you dressed yourself? Okay.
Yeah, it did. But no, this show really does hinge on your tolerance for child actors. And did the boy do a good enough job? Because he's going to be he's not well known. He's not like some famous child actor. So did the Sweet Tooth character, whom he'll be called, did he do okay for you? And obviously so, right?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And especially the further you get into it, I won't say too much about it. But I mean, the kid is essentially, the character is a kid that's been isolated. So the fact that this kid can play like this, oh, I'm, you know, everything is wonderful or surprising or what's that? Like, it kind of just works that the kid doesn't have to be great because he's playing a confused kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get into spoilers for the first episode for sure if you're not that far. Here's where you would stop and go watch it. I did think the first episode took a long time to get to its end point. Like, it was And I mean, the narrator, even the voiceover, even says as much. You get to the final scene, and he says, "Now here's the beginning of the story." It's like, oh, okay. Episode one was all for naught. You could have done that in a montage, but you know, it's fun. It was fun. So I found that a little exhausting. The repetition of this is the beginning of his story. Nope, this is the beginning of his story. But it was, you know. Well, I guess we can talk about what came between the voiceover, which is much more important. I did find the emotional beats to be pretty dadgum effective. As mentioned, I am a father, and when the father says to the little boy, "I'm the luckiest dad in the world," I was like, oh God, my heart's a little broken now. As he's dying, "I'm the luckiest dad in the world because I get to be your dad." Oh my God. And Will Forte, what a pleasure. I'll go ahead and ask, since we're in spoiler territory anyway, does he appear in flashbacks or anything?
Yes.
Okay, good, because I was hoping they didn't just use him for one episode, because I like him.
Me too. And I don't feel like I've seen him in anything super good recently.
That's a good point. Natalie, did you figure, I'm sure you figured, but in the first episode, did you make the connection that the TV lingered on the fake football game a little too long?
I did, you know, I did notice that. I also noticed that maybe it said that he played for LSU, but he wasn't wearing the right colors, and maybe I just didn't see that correctly, but I was very confused.
It was an utterly fake game, but he ends up being the big man in the end, whose name is Tommy, by the way. So I don't have a lot of input, just because I did watch, I was really planning on watching two episodes to kind of have a little bit more ground to stand on, but I'm kind of excited to watch some more and see where it goes. Well, like, Natalie, give me an idea of kind of where it goes as far as thematically speaking, you know? Like, what kind of show is this?
Because, I mean, there's a lot that's
going to... I'm just trying to avoid any spoilers, honestly, so, like...
Right. But I think, you know, it's going to open up. Obviously, it's not just about the kid. I mean, he's going to be kind of the main storyline, but there's a lot that's going to happen around him, and that's going to plug in later, and some of that stuff is good, and some of that stuff could be better. I thought it was a lot of fun, and it's adorable because little deer boy.
Do we have even more sad moments?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay, well, all right. I'll try to gird myself for those.
Yeah, they put him down in the second episode. That's
pretty
sad.
Well, shit. Sorry, he should have dressed more like a kid.
I was going to say he was going to the bathroom in the house. What do you want him to do?
There is a point where somebody does ask him if he poops pellets, which I thought was pretty great.
That's pretty funny. That's a good line. Well, we'll touch on more Loki next week, and we will we might touch on a little bit more Sweet Tooth when I can talk a little bit more in depth about it. What else? Oh, just one last, this may not even make show notes, just last line of the show. Natalie, did you finish The Underground Railroad?
No, I only watched the first two episodes. We've been taking it slow.
Yeah, that one. I finished it this week. That took up the most of my time, which is why I didn't get to Sweet Tooth as much. But
that one's not a binge. Yeah, you got
it. It's not a binge, but I was watching an episode a night, and that's
a lot.
Wow, wow. I'll say this: that something Barry Jenkins is amazing, and every now and again, you kind of wished he would not take so much of a painterly hand and take more of a writerly hand, but man. All right, so that's it for this week. What we'll do is we'll come back next Tuesday, and we'll talk definitely more Loki. That's what's going to happen, because I feel like we'll have even more to say about that. Wow. And we subscribe and subscribe to us or follow us, whatever it asks you to do in your podcast app. Leave us a review, and what we'll do is we'll talk to you next Tuesday. God bless. Stay safe. See you later.